Washington, D.C., Ron Pinchback, are you here? Ten minutes, and then we'll have 10 minutes of question. Can you deal with it properly?
Oh, yeah, okay.
You get special treatment, right?
I thought we were hearing things.
Let's start off with a drum roll.
No, not that dramatic.
Oh, gee.
Thank you very much. First of all, I want to welcome the PNB to Washington, D.C. And thanks for bringing some of that California weather with you. Some of that Houston weather with you. Because this is not the kind of weather we normally have in the nation's capital. But once again, thank you and thank the weather god for giving you guys some good weather during your visit. I want to welcome the old members of the PNB. I want to welcome the new members of the PNB. You have a lot of work cut out for you, as the old grizzly veterans will tell you. Don't be scared. You know, it'll work out. Despite the disappearances. Let me say this, folks. One of the reasons why I'm glad you're here is because Washington, D.C. is going to be the center of a lot of activity over the next 2-3 years. Why? Because of the elections and so on and so forth. The agenda of the Republican Party, the agenda of the Democratic Party, or the lack of agenda for the Democratic Party. And Pacifica has to play a very, very important role in the national debate on a variety of issues. We look out, if you you can see the Capitol from this building. I found that intriguing because a lot of the things that we discuss and a lot of the things that we talk about, a lot of the ideas that we're discussing are aimed at affecting what goes on in that dome up the street. So let's not lose sight of that as we negotiate and talk and dialogue about some controversial issues, some things that we might have, you know, personal disagreements about, but let's stay focused on the real mission and the real objective of why we have all come together in this network, and that is to affect policy change in Washington, D.C., okay? Global policy change as well. And as you know, D.C. does generate news that affects us locally, nationally, and internationally. It's getting more and more difficult to get the truth through mainstream media. We've all accepted that. Now, it's important that the sister stations, T, K, A, I, and of course us, it's important that we have dialogue on these national issues. It's important that we talk about these things, but it is equally important that these stations maintain their local identities. These stations are the only, in many cases, the only outlet that communities have to participate in media, to get their word out, to get their causes discussed. So we must be very, very careful when we talk about, you know, national programming versus local programming. You know, it's not one or the other. It's both. All right? It's not one or the other. It's both. And it is just as important to maintain those local identities as it is to have a national identity. At WPFW, you know, we're in a city that doesn't have home rule. Home rule. That means people can't vote for their elected representatives, not on the federal level. So our citizens here become to, you know, they rely on WPFW to discuss that issue, to move things forward. And we cannot lose sight of that. You know, they depend on us to be a beacon of truth and activism. You know, we have to be involved in both. And not only through our public affairs, but in our music. Because we are telling many of these stories through our music programs, because music and activism do go hand in hand. You know, any throughout human history, when people struggled, they always struggled with music getting them through it or helping them to get through it. It wasn't a distraction, it was an enabler. So for some who may feel that, you know, PFW has too much music or whatever, you know, that music is just as important, that culture is just as important to our community as the spoken word. Katrina, for example. Look at what happened there. It not only destroyed the city politically, it destroyed the city culturally. And now they're trying to place it all back. And it's difficult. But this is what we do. This is what we have to do. You know, just addressing the political concerns of the Katrina victims is not enough. We also have to address the cultural concerns. And that those cultural concerns are very serious, and they're very deep, and they're very real. Financially right now, WPFW is doing better than it's ever done. That's good news. There are a lot of reasons to thank for that. I want to personally thank our business manager, Robert West, and my development director, Tiffany Jordan, who have been instrumental in putting together a string of successful fund drives for the past 2 years, actually for the past 3 years. We have exceeded our goals on all of our drives for the past 2 years. What does that mean for the station? Well, that gives us a positive income variance of over $102,000. And that's money we can use to hire new people, refurbish our studios, buy new equipment, and keep that beast from the door. And you know what I'm talking about. I'm going to point out a few of the station highlights. And I also want to point and thank some people, you know, who have been involved in the success of WPFW. First of all, I want to thank Jim Brown and Gloria Turner for representing the LSB and putting this together on behalf of WPFW, and I'd like for those two folks to stand. Those two are responsible for a lot of the things that have taken place here today. And coordinated their efforts with Lynn Magno, who has been a real dream to work with. Thank you, Lynn. I also want to recognize some other folks. I want to recognize Dorcas DeSasso. Dorcas DeSasso is the chairman of our CBB. Okay, that's right. The Community Advisory Board, we all gotta have them. Thank you, Dorcas. I also wanna thank Zarina Secure. Zarina Secure. Zarina Secure has been a key member of the WPFW family in terms of outreach. She and Ayo Handy, who's sitting around here somewhere. Ayo, there you go. Have been keenly responsible for some successful outreach programs that we've initiated at WPFW. Too many to name, but we're very proud of their work, and it shows in our pledge drives, because that's why people pledge to us. That's why people support us, because, you know, we're consistently trying to get the name out there, to get our message out there, to get our faces out there, and these two people were very, very instrumental in doing that. And Zarina was also the one that came up with the initial, well, with the new floor plan that we now have at the station. And I want to thank you personally for that, because, you know, now we have a lot of room, we have a lot of space, and it didn't cost us any money. Oh, yeah. did not cost us any money.
Ron, you have about another minute left.
That's it? Just when I'm having fun? All right.
If you need to take a couple, go ahead, but okay. That cuts into the question time.
I also want to thank Brother Ambrose for his work on the PNB and serving as ED. And I'm glad that the decision was made to hire a new ED. And Greg, welcome aboard. And a little selfish, Greg, because I'm glad they hired you, because now we can have Ambrose back. All right? His listeners are crying the blues. Where's Ambrose? They're tired of those tape shows. Take them now. Take them national. That's right. Just to point out a few highlights. First of all, like I said, all of our membership drives for this year exceeded their goals. For our fall drive, we achieved a fulfillment rate of 90%. 90%. Now, as Lonnie pointed out, the Arbitron's rating do indicate that, you know, several of the stations had drops in their listenership. We did too, but not a major, drop. So we're very, very happy about that. Our listenership remained, you know, comparatively very steady, which is good news for us. We've also completed a new collective bargaining agreement with AFTRA, which gives our employees some much-deserved raises. It gives them some opportunities for self-improvement in terms of taking classes and things like that. We're also implemented a new security system. And you say, well, why is that important? Well, because we have, one thing about outreach, when you do outreach, people show up. You know, people show up that you've never met before, that you don't know. So it's important that we have some form of security that's reasonable, effective, but at the same time, not prohibitive. So we were very successful in doing that. And, you know, two of our DJs were honored by the mayor just recently, receiving the Mayor's Arts Awards. You know, for their outstanding work to the cultural aspects of our community. We were also honored by the Washington Peace Center for our efforts at promoting peace here and around the country. And time is up.
Time is up. Okay, I was just told that Don, who is more or less invisible to me in this seat, would like to be recognized.
Thank
so
you.
Knowing that, I know to look. Don and then Alan.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you. I know I speak for everyone on the board, you and the other compañeros who have put this together. Your hospitality is warm and enjoyable. It's great to be back here, notwithstanding the fact that we share the city with an ogre somewhere down the street here. I'm very impressed with the station. I was there last night, and it was a beautiful reception. I want to discuss just briefly or ask a question about the growing Spanish surname population in Washington, D.C. There are, I know, an increasing Latina population from El Salvador, a huge Salvadorian population, many from Mexico. My question is, in your opinion, does WPFW reflect that fairly large Latino community? Is there a plan at the station to integrate into programming the voices of the Latino community? Someone from the Venezuelan embassy was here last night and spoke to us, and we've had other reports that this may be among your many successes, that there may be a little weakness in that area. Could you discuss that?
Not a problem. Teresa asked me that question at the last board meeting. And no, we're not addressing that issue as well as we should. Now, I want to say this because I want you to understand that right now, and I'm not making excuses for this, but these sorts of things take time.
Uh-huh.
It's not an attempt to delay this sort of thing, but I'm operating as general manager and program director, and I wash cars and do the floors too, okay? And I've been working with Nobelto to try to gain some people in, some Latinos and Hispanics into our fold, because I don't want to just, when we bring them in, there has to be two components, or actually three. We'll probably have to train those folks, which is no problem.
Right.
We'll also have to promote what we're going to do through outreach. And the other part of it is that we have to give them some realistic opportunity. Now, we are open to that. That's not an issue for us. But we want whatever Hispanic Latina programming that we do on WPFW, we want it to reflect the needs and wishes of that community. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to impose what we feel the community may need. I'm sure the community has some very clear thoughts about what it wants and what it needs out of WPFW. We're going to be having those dialogues over the next few weeks and months. It will be helpful to me when we do hire a program director to help facilitate that. We're not going to wait for that. We're going to go ahead and put some steps in place to make that happen. And we want to make that happen rather shortly.
Great. We have 5 minutes mm-hmm. left and five people who want to speak. So I think if we can ask each one to limit their comments to a minute, and then we'll ask Ron to respond at the end so we get to hear from everybody. I just don't think we have time otherwise to get to everybody. Alan, go ahead.
I suppose, you know, coming into the Pacific National Board, the general question about WPFW, you know, it's been said, like you look at anti-war activism around the world, the size of the crowds, in the February 2003 demonstrations were huge in the United States, but they were not as large as they were in London and in other places around the world, many other places around the world. But in many respects, those smaller crowds in the United States were the most significant. Something analogous could maybe be said about political discourse in Washington, D.C. It is very, very significant, very heightened. And I'm just wondering, WPFW and I have great appreciation for the success of the station and the popularity of the station, the community with the jazz programming. But is there any sense that there might be expansion of public affairs programming on WPFW? And to, you know, take a little bit of the pressure off some of the jazz music, I actually wonder if, you know, Democracy Now! Is maybe adequate in the morning and doesn't need to be replayed, more local programming. And again, is there, the general question, any plan to expand public affairs on WPFW?
Ron, if you could hold off in case there's any overlap with any other questions and answer all at the end, Ken?
Well, thanks. I'm really glad you're working with Umberto on the question of Hispanic broadcasting. That's half my question. The other half has a lot to do with Alan's question, but I guess these statistics that were given us last night by Umberto, I'm wondering if you agree, if these are, you know, your assessment as well. Approximately 18 to 19 hours per day, weekday, of music programming versus 5 to 6 hours of public affairs, and then on the weekends it's 21 or 22 hours versus 2 or 3 hours. Is that pretty accurate?
That's fair.
Mm-hmm. Well, given what you said earlier about the intense need at this time for, you know, the response to the gross lies in the media and so forth and so on that we need to be confronting and so forth, I'm wondering if you consider this an adequate response.
Okay, if you just hold off, because again, you may hear it a little more on that line. I'll let you do it all at once. Lisa and then Bob.
Let me go ahead and respond to these two, all right?
If you can do it within less than a minute or two.
Sure. In answer to your question, one of my concerns, one of our concerns, is that a lot of times at these demonstrations, there's not a large African-American presence, all right? That's a reality. We were approached by the World Can't Wait people about doing PSAs, you know, to promote their activities. And, you know, we agree, we're running the promos now. But I also suggested to them that they create another PSA, because they were going to have a gentleman by the name of Reverend Yearwood, African-American here in the city, to do another PSA. And I asked them to try to tailor that PSA to reach the African-American community, to include it. Because a lot of times, black folks don't come to these things because they don't feel welcome. They're, no one is talking to them. No one is going to their neighborhoods and saying, hey, come out and participate in this. So we were proactive in that sense in asking him to create a PSA for this event that is geared toward the African-American community, and we're going to do more of that.
Okay.
In terms of the hours and such, no, it's not balanced. And that's something that we're striving for. Yes, there will be some new public affairs programming at WPFW. Will we sacrifice our cultural programming to do that? No. What we will do is find the appropriate balance, times of days, and accessibility to make that happen. It's something that we've discussed before. The people at the station are aware of this. We have moved the station a long way, correct, public affairs-wise, but we still have some ways to go.
Lisa, and then Ray, and that's it.
I echo everyone's sentiment about the hospitality here. It's been great, and I'm so looking forward to getting to work with you all in an informal, personal level. I really am. I want to echo Don. I don't remember everybody's name. I'm sorry if I didn't say it correctly. All right, okay. But I just want to echo his concerns, because I've heard some things, and diversity is such an important issue, and it's so important that every group have a fair chance to be equally represented. And one of the things that I wanted to address is the issue of no diversity or lack of diversity among the paid staff. So what I want to know is, what are you all doing? Do you have any affirmative action plans developed that will, I mean, reach out to the indigenous people, Arab communities, as well as Latino, and just in general?
And I'd like Ray, everybody. I'd like Ray to ask his question too before we get a final response.
So actually, I overlap with one of this issue is not new. That's people right. Who've been around here a while back remember me asking a rather friendly quote-unquote question. We had been issued a document by Valerie Venisler, who worked for the national staff then, and that document said that WPFW was 100% diversified. So I looked at it, and I said to her, well, but anyway, I don't have to go into that. Fine. So I'm just saying that this is not new. And to me, we have different needs. I have to get up in the morning, I have to eat, I have to shave, take a shower. But eating is vital, and I cannot skip that. And in Haiti, we have something called being at the table, meaning everybody being at the table. Because it doesn't matter, there's a big meal being served. If I'm not here, I'm not getting it. So to me, being oppressed means sometimes focusing on survival. I understand that. That's probably part of the equation. But it's also an opportunity to be sensitive to other oppression and other realities. So this document we got yesterday from Norberto has some startling statistics. I don't know if they're correct. One of them says, and it's connected in that, actually it's a different issue, but I'll do it right away. It says that their music shows from 19 to 22 hours per day. Now you said that this community needs a lot of work, and again, I don't want to interfere with local, you have to resolve that yourself. But at first blush, I would say, well, some of that has to include discussion, building organizations, and sometimes music have some limitations, and those seem to be huge numbers. I'm looking at another set of numbers that said that the 11 paid staff, and this is what Lisa is saying, and they are
Ray, we're out of time.
No whites, 11 blacks, 0 Latinos, and 0 other. And to me, without being overly dramatic, I would say this is unacceptable.
There's one last point I need to make before you speak, and that is, you said at one point that our job is to affect policy on the Hill, and I just want to say for the record, we're a 501c3 with a mission, and our mission is education. We hope that it leads to social transformation and a more peaceful and just society by presenting dialogue and the information people don't get, and with luck, that will cause that change, but our goal is not that specific change, and we have to be on record as that due to our status. But anyhow, if you finish up, then we have Carol.
All right. In response to the staff issue about it being 100% black, I want you to understand something. The people, those staff people have been with the station, let's put it this way, longer than I have. All right? That's a staff that I inherited. Okay? I'm not going to fire people to achieve diversity. Okay? We have positions on the table: program director, news director, IT, board op. We have a bevy of new positions that we're going to be putting on the table. I have already instructed Yolanda, the human resources person for Pacifica, to help us on this issue. Okay? So we realize the need there. Okay? But the only immediate solution would be to fire people, and that's unacceptable. So we're not going to do that. We will do that through future hires, through outreach, and any other way that we can. So it's not that we're resistant, but that's the reality.
Is there a time limit on this?
Excuse me. I've been cutting everybody off, so if we're going to take more time, I realize how important this discussion is, then somebody on the board should make a motion to extend time to allow that discussion, because otherwise we're making a special case here.
Yes.
Rosalinda?
I'd like to move that we extend the time.
By
at least 10 more minutes.
10 minutes on this topic? Taken from somewhere else or extended to the end of the meeting? Before there's a second, is there any suggestions for competing motions that she might consider? I know she's considered five. Is there a second for 10?
I'll second it.
Okay. Do we need to have debate on that? Let's go to a vote. If it fails, there can be another motion for another amount of time. All those in favor of extending by 10 minutes this discussion, raise your hand, please.
One, I think two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10.
Opposed?
Oh, I don't know. Did you? 11.
12. 12, another hand.
Oh, you went 12. Up.
All those opposed?
People got to do it all at once. You can't tell me. Yeah, they can't help me.
Okay, 12, let's move on.
Okay. What was the vote?
Do we want the no vote?
Yes, we have to have the no votes. It has to be two-thirds.
Okay. No. How many no's? Okay, wait. One, two.
Okay.
I see two.
It carries. I just want to say one thing.
So
you know, as people
yes,
are asking
no.
about how we remedy the issue in paid staffing, my understanding of the law is that we have to address it by aggressive outreach to get diversity in the candidate pool. But
right.
You cannot seek to hire people of a specific ethnicity, even to make up for deficits. So people should be aware of that. We've actually suffered a lawsuit on the basis of comments made by board members to similar effects that cost the foundation more than six figures, and those six figures I don't think were, well, I can't say more than that, but it's caused significant problems. So I hope people keep that in mind in this discussion.
Thank you.
And in response, in terms of a timetable, the timetable, it's not a specific timetable, except as it relates to when we hope to hire these people. Now, what Dave said is correct. Through aggressive outreach in terms of when we post these positions, you know, we want to make sure that we post them in all the different diverse communities so that we can get as a diverse pool of candidates as we can. We want to hire the best people for the job. Now, if that person is Hispanic, Black, White, Asian, female, male, gay, straight, that will be vetted through the selection process. We will be sensitive to our needs when making those decisions, but those decisions will be based on, you know, on the candidate's ability to do the job. And I can't be more, you know, I can't be more specific than that. Time-wise, we hope to have all of these hires in place by June, okay? Why? Because these processes do take time. We do want to do it right. And we want to, like I say, get as diverse a pool of candidates as we can before making a decision on who will be hired where.
Teresa, and then...
Ron, I noticed when you made the analogy with Katrina that we are addressing the political and cultural concerns. And it seems to me that in that analogy, you're suggesting that public affairs and news is political and that music is cultural. And I'd like to maybe suggest to you that sometimes music is political and sometimes public affairs is cultural. We had someone here yesterday, or was it today? Someone here today that talked about the renovations you did and how so much of the digital equipment for volunteer news people was like dismantled and disrupted. And I'm wondering what you're doing to assist those people who are grassroots, volunteer news people, since you don't even have a news director, how you're and continuing to train and provide the equipment they need to make it an easy process that they want to be involved in.
Okay, one of the things that we did in terms of our remodeling was to create a space for people to come in and do that kind of work. The reason those computers were dismantled is because those computers belonged to an individual and wanted them back. We replaced them with the equipment that we had on hand. So that's the bottom line there. I mean, if those computers had belonged to us, they would still be in place right now. So there was no effort to stymie their work or anything like that. On the contrary, we're trying to create a space that's even better for them to work and do the things that they need to do. So will we upgrade those computers to make them better? Yes. Will it take a long time? No. We can have that done, you know, within the next few weeks. But we remember that this relocation, this restructuring of our floor plan just occurred within the past 7 to 10 days. So this is a very, very new problem. We couldn't even get the carpet down in time. We were hoping to have the carpet down for you folks.
Okay.
Really show off, but we didn't get a chance to get that done.
Steve? And we've got Steve, Lydia, Zarina, and then that'll be time.
I just wanted to voice my support for the music programming at WPFW. I think there's a false duality that we hear often on the board. Jazz and reggae and hip-hop and all of it, it's freedom music, and I think some of the other stations could use more music. I think that would solve a lot of our problems in the network. So not to say you shouldn't have more public affairs, but don't do it at the expense of what you're doing now.
Understood.
Lydia?
Okay, a couple of things to piggyback on that. I had a different perception, but I spoke to a friend of mine who's working here in D.C., and he said he's been, you know, he was in Rwanda right after the massacre, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, he's seen the worst of the worst and is submerged in that in human rights work, but he really enjoys the music. But what he says was that what he really appreciates and was missed it when Verna Avery Brown had to take some time off due to illness, was the headline news, the few minutes that are spent throughout the day, that, you know, even if that could be increased, interspersed into your music programming, that would be a big plus. But I wanted to speak more directly to your search in relation to staff, is that even though you certainly, it would be illegal and we wouldn't want it to be an advertisement for a particular ethnicity, but you can certainly add to that, to your job description, is Spanish bilingual, for example. It wouldn't necessarily bring in a Latino or a Latina, but at least the pool would certainly be more attractive, would attract more people from that community. So you can include things legally, and certainly Yolanda can help you develop that more fully,
yes,
in order to not get into trouble on the one hand and yet attract more diverse candidates.
That's a very good suggestion. Thank you.
Zarina?
Ron, mm-hmm. And I appreciate what's going on at the station. And of course, we know there's a lot more that we can do. The staff, board members, and everyone. My question, which I think I've asked about before, has to do with free speech radio and the fact that it comes on at midnight. And that's one of my shows that I do listen to because I'm a news person. And I would like to know, not for them, but for myself and for others who are wondering why it can't be on earlier, because by the time it does come on, it's already yesterday's news. So I'd like to find out if there's going to be some changing in news and public affairs, how that particular program, plus they're young people, we don't have our training program in place at the moment, and it surely would be good if we could get young people back in, or people, hey, my age, doesn't matter. I'm with public cable access, and a lot of the people there are over 50. So what's happening with that?
In less than a minute.
All right. I'm very happy to say, first of all, that one of the things, and I think I've said this before at a previous board meeting, and this is why hiring the news director is going to be so important to us. The idea that we have right now is to make FSRN a part of a new WPFW News Hour that we will air at 6 o'clock in the afternoon to replace the rebroadcast of Democracy Now. So those plans, you know, once again, they're going to require a news director to make that, to bring that to fruition. But that's going to be one of their primary tasks upon taking that job, is to make that happen. So that news hour will contain local news, FSRN, and possibly the best of Democracy Now. So that's what's in the works right now.